good to turn on the.
Your secretary?
You were saying what you were saying, because he had hired this female grain buyer, but I said he had one of the first women secretaries in the elevator also.
Oh.
And she also became more than a secretary. He taught her all about, she knew all about how to dish out chemical and what chemicals they needed to use and all that, which was quite an adjustment for the farmers. And when we had our going away, she told the story she said about how when she first started there, and this farmer phoned in and wanted to know.
I do.
Wanted to know about what the price of this grain was and such, and so she told him, and he said, "I'd like to speak to John." So she gave him the phone to John, and he was asking about it. He said, "Oh, well," he said, "you'll have to check back with Kim. That's her department." Hands it back. She said, "Do you remember that, Dad?" But he wanted her to be able to do these things too. So he said the only way that they were going to trust him is if he made them accept what she said was right. So she did a lot of that sort of thing.
So now we're looking at the later pages in the scrapbook with the several newspaper articles, and the one that is most obvious to me is Farmers Avoid Prosecution. So tell us this story.
Well, that was in the years when grain really wasn't selling very good in Canada. Like, the prices were better in the U.S. And some of the farmers, they found a way of taking it across and marketing it in the U.S. And that was, of course, against all rules and regulations for the wheat board, because it's supposed to be, you know, they're supposed to sell it to the board. It's anyway. There's a few guys that found ways of marketing, and of course they were some of them were caught doing so, and that's where the inspectors, the Grain Commission, as well as the Wheat Board, had inspectors watching the border pretty close, and although they really didn't find a whole lot of people, because that would have taken a lot of dollars, a lot of time, and involve a lot of people. But there were some that were more, they were really determined they were going to beat the system. And some of them, they kind of formed a group that would kind of stick together to see this thing through. To see it, they wanted some changes made to the board, which I guess is nothing unusual. I mean, that was, but the way they went about it, I guess, is something that, it got them into a lot of trouble, a lot of hot water.
It says here that there was 64 farmers. Is that the group that?
Well, that's the ones that was involved. There was a lot more farmers than that involved, I'm sure. But anyway, that's the ones that they kind of went after. And I don't know whether the companies were actually charged. But this one particular farmer, well, the thing was, it was kind of a setup, on his group's part, not the board or the Grain Commission. It was the farmers themselves that they got word that there was inspectors, that there was trouble coming, and so anyway, for some unknown reason, nobody was available except this one fella, and he happened to be home, and. So anyway, the police come in and they charge them for this illegal thing that they had done, whatever that might have, you know, I don't remember how they worded it, but this is what he was charged with. And they took him to right off the farm. They come and got him, put shackles on him, and took him to, just for, they're going to set an example, and that's what they really put on a show. But anyway, they took him into Brandon to jail. And mind you, he wasn't there very long. And that was just, then they took him, they let him out, and so they set an example. That was, but there was a lot of people involved in that, and the funny part of it was, one way they tried to beat it was they set up, so you couldn't haul it across. Okay. So they got a great big long grain auger. And they set it up on one end, set it in the border, dumped it in there, augered it into a truck across the border, and hauled it to the elevator. Well, they were so much fun made out of that. I mean, it was just a real joke after a while, you know. Yeah, on both parties. I mean, that was on both parties. They could have settled that another way, but that was all in the area. The reason it's in here is because that's the area that we came from. And, mm-hmm. So.
And the part that says grain firm fined for helping farmers.
Yeah.
Milk. Federal plan.
No, this is something, I don't know, this is a different thing again.
Oh, different, not.
No, I just can't remember now.
This case didn't sign anything.
No, I think I'm just trying to think if this is the one that I'm. Okay, yeah, they. This was involving barley, feed barley, and they at that time there was a. I'm trying to remember just the particulars how that thing worked. The farmers could haul their grain to the elevator and buy it back for feed. And they would get, there was a payment for barley that was hauled to the elevator that they would get at a later time, I understand. That's not quite clear on this, and but anyway, they would they could haul it in, haul it back out, and it would go recorded as an entity that they had sold it to the board, and there was going to be a payment, qualified for something. And I'm just not quite clear on that, and but anyway, there was some of that going on with some producers that wanted and I think the cash advance was involved, but I won't say for sure, because I could be wrong on that. And because it wasn't really a big thing, you know, yeah. It wasn't a big thing that it was. It's here that Patterson was. It says here Patterson was fined. But,
and just to sort of connect the story, and talking to Mr. Jones yesterday, just so that it's recorded on the tape, he had mentioned a situation where they had been. Now, I don't know if it was fined, but it was a court case of some sort.
Yeah.
And I think that may have been appealed. So I'm just wondering whether this might be the first side of that.
Yeah.
And then it was overturned. So I'm not sure if it was the same
situation. I think he maybe might have been talking about another case there. But I think there's different ones, you know, different things over the years that have happened that, you know, where the court was involved and fines or token fine, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
And but this one here, I can't just remember now just how that went, because it might have been the time and it might not have been, because they actually, even though there was no visible rule that was broken, but when it was interpreted different way, then this is what became of it. And I don't even know whether the farmers got paid for that, whether they got compensated for what they were trying to do or not, I'm not sure. And that would be indicated by this, that maybe they were okay, that they did, that everything went through. But the way it was done, I guess, is what probably got this company in a mess. Mm. Wasn't a big thing, but I mean.
No, you don't like to see headlines like that about your company.
No, but, you know, they do happen, and it's, but it, it's, this wasn't the only company that was involved.
Ah.
Put it that way. But this is what we read about today. Mm-hmm. But there was, you know, there was more involved.
Mm-hmm. And you would, of course, save something that was pertinent to you.
Well, exactly. So that's what we saved. But it wasn't a very big thing. This was a far bigger thing.
Mm-hmm. The farmers.
The farmers. Persecution. Yeah, that was. And another thing, too, is I know these people because I've dealt with them for a lot of years. And to see this happen to me, it's I can look back at it now. It's kind of comical the way it all evolved, you know. And but there's I'm sure the grain industry is full of this. But
shall we take just a few minutes because I put a new tape in and just finish off our.
And this is the Colross, the one that moved from Elm Creek and turned it into this.
And now it has its new name.
That has new name, and it's still operating today. So,
but it's interesting because the article says that Colross is a hamlet at the extreme of small towns with only two residents.
Exactly right.
The elevator operator, Andy Watson, and Pearl, his wife.
That's right. That's the only one. But then today, there's they still live in Colross in the same house that they. Had they ended up buying the house from Patterson when they retired, and then the new manager is lives right next door. So there's actually I guess four people now.
Where is Colross?
Well, if it's on number 2 highway, if you ever go on number 2 highway, if you go west, it's there's Fannisdale.
Yes.
And then there's Colross, and then Elm Creek, and there's just the elevator and two houses. And a farmer has a machine shed there as well. So it's very, 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 very small. But this fella, they've lived there for years. He ended up when the house wasn't in very good shape when I took over as the regional manager. So we built him a new house, him and his wife. And she was so proud of that house. And so a few years later, they retired, but they didn't want to leave Colross. But so the only thing is, I mean, the new manager had to have a place to live, so they had to move out because they were renting it from Patterson. Mm-hmm. So then they end up buying the old place back and fix it up, and it's a real nice place for them. Yeah. So it's interesting, huh? Mm-hmm. They didn't want to leave the community. But I understand they're going to. Now this one is Moore's, I think. No, I don't know. Moving. Oh, this is Colross. This is still Colross. Okay. Well, here's the moving of the elevator. Is pardon me. Though when we had the opening, there was another building. There was an old store that was in this Colross. Yeah, but here's where they're moving it away from the old elevator at Elm Creek and moving it down the road.
Over the snow,
across the fields and. Down the road a little ways. They didn't have far to go. Elm Creek and Colross isn't very far away. And then we have, history of Colross. Oh, yeah, Manitoba. It's just a history of the different. That was one of the terminals, I guess. Here's a. That was a pretty bad thing here, where that kid was killed on the golf course. He worked for us at Kane, and he was golfing at just this day, and they had a wait at this particular number 7 hole, and they were going to they were just waiting there on the people ahead of them, and he decided, you know, I'm just going to. Well, he said to his buddies there, I always wanted to wrap one of these clubs around one of these posts, Harry. And the guy says to him, well, don't use your good club. He says, take one of my old ones. And he did. And he just took a swing and come around and cut his.
Oh.
So he died on the golf course. Just a young kid, too. So that that wasn't very nice.
Hmm. Sad way to end the...
Oh, yeah, there's the kid, yeah. 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 And what have we got here?
Opening the inland terminal in Indian Head.
Okay, that's the first terminal that Patterson had. First inland concrete one that Patterson built.
And where's Indian Head?
Number one highway. It's Saskatchewan. That is, are you familiar with number one at all?
Through to the Manitoba border, not much afterwards.
Not much after. Well, mm-hmm. It's not very far over the border, but it's right along number one highway.
Mm-hmm.
Before you get to Regina. And that's the first one that they built. And just trying to think who the guys were there. Well, yeah, just after my brother left there. He was buying it. He bought in Grenfell in the town next to it. But I thought maybe he might have been there, but it's not. So that's...
Well, that's
one scrapbook. Thank you so much for your time. And if I stay much longer, I'm going to invite myself to supper because it smells so good. So we're going to be on our way.
Oh,
and thank you.
Well, it's...